Welcome to the Voice of Hope podcast. We're going to share some slightly different material than our usual Bible study content. Recently, Heralds of Hope had a series of fundraising breakfasts, which included a business topic brought by a local business leader. The following presentation is entitled The Right People, and it was made at the Strategic Partner Breakfast event in Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania, by Doug Raymer. I certainly learned a lot, and I trust you will too. If you would like to know more about Heralds of Hope or this presentation, please visit our website, heraldsofhope.org, or call us at 717-485-4021, or email hope@heraldsofhope.org. Enjoy.
Teamwork.
Teamwork, okay. What else do you see?
Two guaranteed followers.
Is that right? Two guaranteed followers?
Not if you let go.
Not if you let go. So we're getting really close. The observation here is the last two are doing what? They're hanging on voluntarily, aren't they? They're not coerced into. Maybe there's other consequences if they wouldn't, but they're choosing to follow the leader. And when we talk about our organizations, whether it's your church or your organization, your school, your business, your family, how do we find, family you don't choose your people, but everything else you, how do you get them to follow voluntarily? So we want to talk about that today. So let's talk about today's objectives, what we want to accomplish. One would be, in this room, you're all a bunch of smart thinkers. So I don't have any new ideas. I will give you ideas you've probably heard before, but I would like to stir your thinking, your creative thinking, to how maybe in your organization you can find those right people, and then if you find them, keep them or develop them, all right? They may not be the right person when you originally meet them, but you can work toward grooming them that way. Of course, identifying them and explore ways to reduce this hire, train, leave phenomenon. How many people like this hire, train, leave scenario? Is that a good scenario? That's pretty costly, isn't it? That is, I was telling Mr. Weaver here earlier that one of the benefits about having people that stick around a while, or having I'm going to call them an old patriarch in church, they've been there for 50 years. There's some stability with that. You can gain some momentum around longevity. And when you have people that you hire them and then you train them and then they end up leaving, that's a bad deal. How can we reduce that? You know, I watch sometimes churches where, you know, they come in the front door and 3 years later they're out the back door, or they're just going through, they're passing through. If they're good enough to get them, why don't we somehow lock the back door so they can't get out? You know, we want to keep them here, okay? So we'll talk about the phenomenon around the hiring and training and leaving, and then the importance of alignment. And I'll get into that just a little bit. And then, of course, we did mention earlier the voluntary employee commitment. So here's another question. This is a quiz for you. I want you to tell me, what are your observations? And a couple of you might have solved this before, so I don't know if you need to. What are your observations on this picture? This is a restaurant. This is a picture of a restaurant, a diner. What do you see?
Open door.
Door, yep, double door.
Absolutely. What else?
By the way, this is the railing, handicap railing, okay? And this is Rick and Tom. What do you see here?
Reflections.
Reflections? Yes, more.
It looks busy.
Okay? Absolutely. There's more here.
A covered window.
Covered window?
Is it a window or chrome?
Anybody see chrome here? You see chrome? Anybody else see chrome? Okay. So I know it's maybe a little hard for you to see, but this is the rain gutter.
That's chrome. That's the soffit underneath. That's chrome.
The window dividers are chrome. The door's chrome. This is a fancy. That's chrome.
Inside, everything is chrome.
It's down the road about a half an hour from my place. One morning, me and one of my partners were there and for breakfast, we walked in, and I'm going to say that the experience was mediocre. Wasn't bad, wasn't necessarily good, but it was not a warm greeting. It was a, where would you like to sit? Or, you know, how many of these are there? You know, but it was just kind of, it was what you, she had to do when she greeted us. So we go and we sit down. Can I get you anything to drink? Yeah, I'd like coffee. So she got us coffee and we ordered, and the food was average. The service was average. Not a lot of people in the restaurant. The owner was sitting over in the corner, and there was two or three employees. And while they were not serving us, what were they doing? Did anybody know? Anybody want to guess what they were doing?
On the phone.
They're on the phone? Okay. No, they weren't. He would have said, no, you weren't on the phone. So sorry, you're wrong. What might have they been doing between customers?
Polishing chrome.
Polishing chrome. This guy that built this restaurant loved chrome, obviously. Right? He was a chrome lover. Now I'm gonna back down now and say, so if one of us, if I wanted to go and work at a restaurant, I would probably, if I wanted to be a waiter, what would make me a good waiter? Well, these ladies that help us, what makes them good? What do they have to like? People? What else?
Tips.
Tips, yes. Serving food. But what does she have to do? What was important to the owner?
Polishing chrome.
Polishing chrome. How long do you think she's going to stay there? If she loves people, she loves food, she would like to stop and talk, say, hey, how are you? But instead, she's supposed to be polishing chrome. Between serving us, she was they were wiping the chrome down. Nothing wrong with the chrome. That's fine if that's what you like. Okay. I don't even like washing vehicles. Notice mine's dirty this morning. Truck drivers, they love polishing chrome. Okay. But in this particular situation, there's a misalignment where the employee, the waitresses may have wanted to come to work there because they love food and they love serving people. Instead, what was important to the owner was polishing chrome or shiny chrome. And I'm telling you, chances are they're not going to last very long. They're misaligned. Does that make sense? And I just would have liked to, we're going to spend a little bit of time on that today, where who we are as a company, we and our people, we may not be aligned. Then we wonder why are people in our church, maybe they're leaving, maybe we aren't aligned, there's something missing. Let's go to this slide. What's your observations here? No wrong answers. I picked one of you, sir. There's no wrong answers here. What do you notice?
Central number of branches.
Okay, what else? Somebody owns.
This is pretty simple.
Well, nothing's quite lined up.
Okay. Right?
We're the same size.
What else? What do you see here?
Yeah, octagon.
Okay.
Going different directions.
They're going different directions. The arrows, are they different sizes?
Yeah, they're in balance.
Okay. But they're pretty much the same size. For if you were to be sitting over here, pretty much the same size, right? They have the same. They have points on the ends. They're all blue. So they're all the same. They all look the same. But they're all going different directions, right? Now, what do you see here? What do you see here?
They're all different. They're going the same direction.
They're all different. They're going the same direction. They're different sizes, lengths, widths, colors. Some are supportive, maybe on the bottom they're strong, the others are just weak, maybe weaker, but faster. All kinds of differences, but they're all heading the same direction. Okay. And when we think about the right people, sometimes we think the right people have to be just like me for it to work. My observation of the last 40 years is that's not the case. To make it work, we need the body, the group, the bigger. We need to identify the giftings of each and all. So alignment and teamwork does not mean that we are the same. I would like to, a couple of notes here I just want to pick up on. So I would have this question. Do you think you're right? What about life? The way you do life, you think you're right?
Yeah, sure.
Pretty much, right? That's why you do it. How about you? Do you think?
Pretty much.
You think you're, how about you? But you express yourself and you live your life in such a way where you think you're right. I think I'm right.
I'm in meetings with Tony. He does.
But we go to different churches. We do different things. We think differently. How can we all be right? How is that possible for us to all be right? Well, these are questions just to challenge you into understanding when you're looking for someone to come into your organization. I'm primarily talking about your business. Who are you actually looking for? Who's going to fit?
People that will operate in the same playbook. That's a loaded statement.
I believe a bulk of you here are Anabaptists, and so we have an appreciation for Anabaptists that we, if we need someone, we say, well, they'll understand my vantage point, okay? When we hire them, we don't have to do a lot of culture training, et cetera, right? But I have a question for you. Who's the right person? If you hire a military man, person comes from the military, ex-military person, and they want to learn about your culture, and they're willing to support authority. They understand the authority structure. So that's one person. Or you have an Anabaptist person that understands the culture, but doesn't understand and respect authority and the leadership structure. Who's the right person for your organization, possibly? Who's the better?
The ex-military.
It is dependent, but probably the ex-military person.
Certainly not the ex-military.
I have, my experience, we have almost 400 employees. I've hired more people than I can imagine. I will say this, that today, just a bit over 10% of our employees would have worked for us, left, and then came back. That's because they thought it was greener on the other side, and they had an opportunity or something fell through, or whatever. Okay. So I've had hired many people. And what you see across the table when you're interviewing them is often not what you think they are. You think you've made a judgment call. And you maybe hired them. There's one person I turned down three times. And finally, I was prodded by others to consider this person. Finally, I did. And that was 10 years ago, maybe. Today, he's my right-hand man. I know that he will not drop the ball anywhere. He interviewed badly. But then there's others that have all the right answers. They don't get the leadership structure, authority. And it doesn't work. So who are the right people? If I may, I'm going to go into scripture here just a little bit, so I won't preach at you. But if you want to understand who the right people are, consider 1 Corinthians 12 and study that and study that and study that. It's talking about the spiritual gifts, but it applies to what we're doing here. In verse 17, it talks about the body. And it says, if the eye if the whole body were the eye, okay, if my whole body was an eye, where would the hearing be? Do you remember that verse? Remember talking about that? In other words, if we're all supposed to be the same, we're going to miss a lot, aren't we? If my whole body is supposed to be the eye, I'm not going to be able to hear. And you know what we do to others? We're there, Anthony, don't you get it? I expect him to think exactly like me and see it like me and understand it like me. And he's not supposed to. You all think you're right. You all probably are right. You see it from a different vantage point. But we are all heading in the same direction. Are we working together? The body works together, but we function completely different. The eye is never supposed to hear, and the ear will never see. Never. We will never function the same. He may be the data guy, and I am not a data guy. And he must say, that Doug just does not get the numbers. And we become critical. We become critical. What happens when the body gets critical of itself? What's that called? It's called autoimmune disease, where it fights itself, right? It literally kills itself. That is not those people that we're looking to bring in our, to have in our churches, our schools, our businesses, our organizations. They do not need to be just like us, but we are heading in a direction. And we want everybody to be heading the same direction, right? And there's more verses. It talks about how many people here have salespeople in your company?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You got some salespeople, okay?
Salespeople, they're the ones that often get the attention, don't they? If you're in the archery business, okay? How many bows did we sell, and how many did you sell? You keep track of that. Do we keep track of how many strings we replaced, and how many we repaired, and how many bearings, and how many cables? We don't keep track of the service side, but we keep track of the sales side. And we make sure we put the sales numbers up on the board, and we do all those things, and sales gets the attention. But not the janitor, not the repair guy, not the cooks back in the kitchen, okay? They're not the ones that get the credit. The Bible talks in this 1 Corinthians 12, says, let those that are more pleasing, let them get less honor. Those that are less comely, let them get more honor. In our company, we still give credit to the sales department, but we make sure the service department gets just as much praise. And I would also say to you, if you are looking for the right people in your company, and who are those right people, start with the simplest. When I say simplest, the people doing the simplest tasks. Maybe even have someone that has autism, and they're emptying your waste cans. They get more praise than anyone else. They get more attention. They should get more compliments. Learn to give everyone compliments. They're the right people. They're helping move. What would we do? In our business, we have appliances. And how would you view if you came in our store and all our black and stainless steel appliances had fingerprints everywhere, smudges everywhere? Wouldn't look good, would it? But the girl that cleans it, she gets unnoticed by the consumer, by the public, by they shouldn't from us. Okay. So we want to make sure that people that are, if I could give you advice, would be sales departments that already typically get the glory. They should get less, right? Give others that. Okay, some steps to align them. How do you know these are the right people? If you don't have a vision, mission, and core values, people are not going to know it either. So go home and study who you are, what you want to be, where you want to go, and make sure your core values, you have that down pat. Do thorough interviewing employees, potential employees. I have a list of an hour's worth of questions I ask employees. Potential employees. It takes me an hour. If they're long-winded, it'll take me an hour and a half, hour, three quarters to get through an interview. I want to make sure that I'm bringing on the right people. Also, I communicate what's important to me before they start. Before I hire, I ask them, I'll go and I'll communicate. When I think that this young gentleman here, you know what, he has some potential. I think maybe he would fit in our company. So I'll sit down with him and I'll, you know, what's your name?
Zane.
I'll say Zane. And I'll do a little preaching. I'll let him know, and I'll let Zane know exactly what's important. What's important for me is, number one, we honor God. Number two, we serve each other. These are all our employees. One thing we will not do is we will not fight internally. We support each other. We're different. One person's the eye, one person's the ear. We will not have internal fighting. If you don't like relationships, can't work here. I'll make sure that's crystal clear, and I will get Zane to, I can work with that. That's me. I'd like to work with that. So communicate your passion before you hire them and achieve that commitment. Get them to commit. Say, I'll have people that will actually work for us or during the process to say, you know what? I would love to work for a company that treats their employees like that. I want commitment from them before I hire. So what is our hiring approach? Your hiring approach, or who are you bringing in? I hope you're not just expecting a robot. In fact, when I'm looking for employees, I tell this quick story. And I said, I'm looking for leaders. Leadership in simplest form is not a 55-year-old white guy. Okay? Leadership, here's what I'm looking for. Let me give you an example. I'll tell them this. I'll say, pretend it's the first day of school, it's the kindergarten class, and the teacher's not in the room, the children file in, there's 10 students come in, there's this little low table, and there's yellow chairs and green chairs and red and orange, and there's 9 chairs and 10 students. What's the problem? The leader in the room, who is not the teacher, only 6 years old, maybe even a female, the leader in the room identifies the problem. What's the problem? One person has to stand, right? 10 students, 9 chairs. The leader goes over and grabs a chair in the corner and says, here, you know, sit here. They take action. Leaders take action. Leaders have empathy. They feel badly for the person who has to stand there. Even at the risk, even without the title and with the risk of being made fun of. That's what we're looking for in our company. Those are the right people. The people that take responsibility and do not have to be told. Yes, we have titles, but you don't need a title to take action. Okay? So I do not want to hire robots. I don't want to hire people that have to be told what to do. We will give you, train you, do everything we need to do to get you equipped, and then you can off and run. We got 1 minute, so I think we're going to do this. A lot of people say, does it matter what I do? Does it matter if I'm in the welding shop, in the machine shop, and I'm making this part, does it matter? That's meaningless. I did 75 of them yesterday. What does the boss want tomorrow? How many does he want tomorrow?
150.
He wants maybe 76 tomorrow. And then the next day, he wants a little bit more. Every day it's more, right? The bosses always want a little bit more. We have to have more. Things go up. There has to be more efficiency, okay? But what's my life purpose? If all I'm doing is building these brackets, what's my purpose? It's empty, it's meaningless after a while. For us, if it's just refrigerators, if it's 10 today, it's going to be 12 tomorrow. We just want more. But if we see the end result or we see the difference we're making, maybe it changes how we feel about what we do. It gives us purpose. If we do not have purpose, if your people do not have purpose, they might be the right people, but we as leaders have lost them because we didn't show them the end game. I'll quickly go over this slide. The top on the right, you'll see the pyramid. Okay, where the president, he's at the top and he's calling, he's shouting out the orders from the top down. I would like to say that you as leaders here, the owners, you're on the left. Picture yourself over here. This is the way we lead. We lead a supporting leadership. The owners are the roots. Down underneath, they oftentimes you don't even see them. You managers are the trunk. You're supporting the customers and the employees up at the top to get the glory. Okay, that's the way Christian leadership should work. I'd like to end with this. Until we understand who we are and what we stand for, we'll never know what to tell our people. that they should be. We'll not know what we're looking for. So being able to step back, look at ourselves, have our vision, mission, core values, I can tell you this. We've had some success in our company. And if it's only about numbers, that's not success. Success is not numbers. Success is making the difference in the lives of people, investing in them, and getting the right people on your team. And you will find purpose, and you will also give them purpose. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Right People by Doug Raymer. If you would like to know more about Heralds of Hope or this presentation, please visit our website at heraldsofhope.org. You can call us 717-485-4021 or email at hope@heraldsofhope.org.